pitomarcih pomorče belih družin. Kako bo letos organizirana obramba pred točo?
Listke imam zelene in prav lepo dišim.
Ovogodišnji agrarni budžet nije ne izbliza u iznosu onom koji odgovara poljoprivredi.
Najbolj sam vesela, ko sonče kuzide.
If you are contaminated by Monsanto's GMOs, you no longer own your seeds or plants.
Najbolj pa sovražim, ko so in herbicide.
Kijavo seme!
Agroprogram
Radija Študent.
Lepo pozdravljeni, štirje tedni so mimo, poslušate Kilavo seme, oddajo o vrtičkanju, agropolitiki, okolju in skvotiranju. In kaj bomo poslušali danes?
Oziroma ne vem, če po nekaj časa. V glavnem, za začetek imamo komentar, kdo se boji invazivk. Predvsem se bomo ukvarjali s terminologijo, ki se v vezi s tem uporablja. V srednjem delu daje intervju s kurdskim tovarišem, ki bo govoril o kmetijstvu in pa politiki v jugovzhodni Turčiji. V rubriki, v redni rubriki od zrna do zrna, pa si bomo lahko poslušali več o sireku oziroma sirku. Evo, tako da zaključak še nekaj napovedi, tako da najboljš, da gremo naprej.
Gnojimo veter.
Kdo se boji invazivk?
Invazivne tuje rodne vrste, kot so uradno imenovane, v okoljevarstvenem svetu veljajo za enega glavnih razlogov za izumiranje vrst in uničenje biodiverzitete v okoljih, kamor so naseljene. Navajajo se katastrofalni vplivi razširjanja teh vrst, kar nas mora gotovo skrbeti. Preden pa nadanemo rokavice in besno udarimo po najbližnjem dresniku, moramo pomisliti tudi na politično ozadje, ki nič hudega sluteči dresnik slika kot slabega, celo zlobnega, napram ranljivim domačim cvetlicam.
Za proženje čustvenih odzivov in občutkov poklicanosti k orožju ali orodju, pri širši javnosti se za poimenovanje procesov razširjanja in vzpostavljanja populacij invazivnih tujerodnih vrst predkano vpeljala raznovrsta militaristična ksenofobna retorika. Vzpostavil se je ostro začrtan dualizem pri poimenovanju tujerodnih in avtohtonih vrst, tujega in domačega, nas in njih, ki pogosto predpostavlja, da je vse, kar je tuje, tudi slabo, kar je dobro, pa ni tuje. Tak princip očitno deluje. Kampanje in projekti za odstranjevanje invazivk se vrstijo. Prostovoljci dvigujejo roke, na znanstvenih in strokovnih konferencah vrši od žugajočih borbenih pesti, stekajo se milijoni in milijarde.
Jasno, da ljudje raje prispevajo k varovanju nečesa, kar je poznano, v narekovajih njihovo. Posledično je jasno tudi, da bodo hitreje odrinili in poteptali vse tisto, v narekovajih tuje, kar je v narekovajih prišlo v nepopisnih invazijah, da preraste, prevzame, zaduši, izrine, ruši, poškoduje, uniči, pobije, ogroža, obžira, okuži in iztrebi. Pod senzacionalističnim jezikom pa ne smemo prezreti glavnega razloga za razširjanje in prisotnost tistih v narekovajih drugih in posledično izumiranje v narekovajih naših vrst. Človeški kolonializem, vojne, mednarodna trgovina in splošno opustošenje okolja.
V Vrste od pajesna do rakuna, od signalnega raka do sončnega ostriža, herlekinskih polonic nutri, od starih znank do komaj pristalih in vse vmes, ki so se tako rekoč na človeških krilih preselile na drugi konec sveta in tam tudi uspešno preživele, se vzpostavile in razširjale naprej, so primerno prilagodljive, nedvomno pa jim pri vsem tem pomagajo tudi podnebne spremembe. Poseljujejo lahko zaradi človeka degradirana okolja, od opustošenih in zabetoniranih rečnih bregov do urbanih smetnjakov. Njihova izjemna prilagodljivost jim omogoča tudi razširjanje v druga, manj opustošena okolja, kjer se čelom trčijo na ogrožene in zavarovane vrste in kjer se iz nadležnih škodljivcev spremenijo v nevarne zle prišleke.
Demonizacija teh vrst umiva vest, medtem ko s prstom pokaže, katere vrste so odvečne in katere je možno množično pobijati brez resnejših pomislekov. Projekcija negativnih človeških hotenj jih tako paradoksno označi za manj kot živa bitja, postanejo zgolj predmeti, katerih edini cilj je škodovati, uničevati in pobijati. Edini način, ki nam torej preostane za ohranjanje narave, je njihova brezpogojna eradikacija. Zatem se skriva mračno prepričanje, da je zavarovanje enih vrst, biodiverzitete in obstoječih ekosistemov kot takih nujno ubiti druge.
Težava nepremišljenih problematičnih izrazih, ki jih vihtijo raznorazni strokovnjaki, pa ni le v specizmu. Diskurs se iz naravoslovnega ves čas pretaka v družboslovnega in obratno. Politično orožje diha z znanstvenim in mu hkrati diha za ovratnik. Ko znanstveniki in strokovnjaki nekritično prevzemajo ksenofobno, rasistično in militaristično retoriko, ter jo s svojo zagnanostjo še oplajajo, se po večini morda niti ne zavedajo, da jo iz njihovih ust oportunistično pobirajo politiki, odločevalci, mediji in podobni obritoglavi entuzijasti nad uličnim skandiranjem in pretepanjem mimoidočih. Besedam namreč sledijo koncepti, konceptom zakonodaja, tej pa zelo resne posledice za številne odrinjene.
Tako se na primer za človeške migracije ljudi na poti uporablja enake izraze kot za druga potujoča bitja, imenovana invazivne tujerodne vrste. Migracije se poimenuje invazije, ljudi na poti se imenuje prišleke, usiljivce, demonske druge, ki so prišli uničevati, izrinjati, škodovati, pobijati. Namen je kot pri drugih vrstah dosežen. Z demonizacijo se jih na enak način razčloveči, potisne v predal odvečnih in pusti umreti ali neposredno umori. V družbi pa se hitro ustali prepričanje, da so takšni ukrepi nujni za voljo varovanja obstoječega sistema, v narekovajih avtohtonih prebivalcev zahodnega sveta in ohranjanja ekonomskega bogatstva peščice.
Ob upoštevanju širše politične slike in absurdnih hipokrizij ne moremo preprosto zamižati na obe očesi o prosti rabi sicer nedopustno sovražnih izrazov pri strokovnjakih, ki se ukvarjajo s tako imenovanimi invazivnimi vrstami. Skupaj z znanstveno stroko si moramo prizadevati, iznajti in uporabljati primernejše besedišče, ki bo kljuboval sovražnemu govoru in segal onkraj dualnosti tujega avtohtonega, ter na ta način prevetril tudi širšo družbo. Prizadevati si moramo tudi za upeljavo ukrepov, ki se bodo soočili s spremembami in nesporno resnimi vplivi določenih vrst, ter bodo namesto krvave gonje za popolnim uničenjem teh vrst prioritizirali ukrepitev odpornih ekosistemov kot celot.
Medtem, ko kolonizatori pridigajo o kolonizaciji, okupatorji pa o invazijah, Lahko za konec še spomnimo, da so kljub vsem militarističnim opisom potovanja vrst prav vojne, skupaj z vsem dobesedno ali metaforično pripetim kolesjem, zaslužne za razširjanje velikega števila, v narekovajih, invazivnih vrst. Ena izmed bolj znanih je koloradski hrošč, ki je na kontinentalna evropska tla prišel na valovih Prve svetovne vojne. Ob več delno ali neuresničenih načrtih uporabe hroščev kot biološkega orožja strani nacistov, pa se je nato tekom druge svetovne vojne razširil naprej po kontinentu, kjer še danes pustoši po, narekovajih, našem, krompirju, joj.
Svetlica z listki zelenimi, a imela je nesrečo, kar rado se zgodi, da živela je v deželi Republiki Sloveniji. Kaj ti tam cedijo se mleko, med in mast, in normalno, da sosedi šli so jih na past, so nam ropali domove, lali nam živino, kleli čez boga družino, vino, domovino, izčrpali bogata so najtišča diamantov, nič več ni le dober dob, grob slovenskih fantov. A svetlica, ki nemočno gledala je to, sklanjala je glavico in jokala močno jo, slišal je sovrak ta kruti, ki deželo je poklal in ogojzar je obuti, jo je vod vojakov potacal. Svetlici dokončno prekipilo, ker so stvari na svetu, ki se jih početi ne bi smelo. Lahko fintate nam mesta, razbijete vsako šipo, lahko se zruši avtocesta in razpustite nam fuzbal ekipo. Lahko na nohte trkate v živo dol iz prsta, maneta cat po rožicah in zaščite nas ovrsta. Dosti zdaj planika, tega sranja ima, le zato, ker ni velika, jo lahko vsak taca. Je v pomoč priletel NATO, z vso vojaško robo, cedlica pa je zrasla v atomsko gobo. Toda odletela vse v kurac je res, a smo ohranili nacionalni interes. Tako otroci naučili smo pomembnega se fakta, noben te ne bo jebal, če član si NATO pakta.
Ekola, pa smo nazaj v današnjem srednjem delu daje Kilovo seme, pa intervju s tovarišom iz severnega Kurdistana. Pogovarjali se bomo o proizvodni hrane na splošno, nekaj bomo povedali tudi o proizvodni tobaka, o gojenju tobaka in splošni politični situaciji na tem področju. V ta namen bomo začeli, pogovarjali se bomo v angleškem jeziku. So, hello, comrade.
Hello. From
North Kurdistan, how are you?
I'm good, thank you for having me.
So, maybe because maybe some people that don't even know where is North Kurdistan and also the Semso region, so could you tell us general stuff about Semsur city and region?
Of course.
Where is this? What is the climate and things like this?
Okay. North Kurdistan means the Kurdistan part in Turkey. So I'm from Samsur. It means also Adıyaman, it's which is southeast of Turkey, next to the Euphrates city. 600,000 people live there. So mostly it's like a hot place. Weather is usually hot, and farming place. So yeah, basically it's kind of like this.
Okay, you said that it's a very warm place.
Yes.
Does that mean that you have some problems with water?
Of course.
And how do you actually manage this? How are the irrigation systems built? And are there any problems with using the Euphrates River for irrigation?
Yes, because Euphrates is not, is okay, born in Kurdistan, but it goes to three countries, so they have agreement, so you cannot only just use it. So because of this agreement in Syria, Turkey, Iraq, so it's like you need the permission to use it. So
but traditionally the region used Euphrates as irrigation.
Yes, all times, of course.
So since when are these problems with using the water?
I think mostly it's about climate changing, of course, because Euphrates is also affected by this. So now Turkey and Syria or Iraq, they can use it if they make a side of the Euphrates like a synthetic lakes. They can use it from there, not directly from Euphrates.
And how does this influences the agriculture, the production of food in the region?
Yeah, actually, you know, I told you it's a very sunny place. So basically we do many things. So like grapes, wheat, many things that you can think of, you can farm it. Tobacco, grapes, wheats.
Okay, and maybe this is one special stuff that we were also discussing before. It's planting tobacco. Like Semso region is known for very good tobacco, but it was forbidden in 2002. So can you tell us something about like how were you planting tobacco before and what happened after 2002?
Okay, 2002 means the year Erdogan and his party became a presidency in Turkey. So 2002 means this. And before that, in Turkey, we had a public fabrics, which they bought our tobacco all over in Turkey, west in Turkey and north in Turkey. But at the end, my hometown Samsur is a different kind of tobacco. It's like very quality. The city next to us, they also did, but the taste and the smell is not the same. So we have a different kind of tobacco. You directly can smoke it. You don't need to sell any fabrics or anywhere. So it's basically like this been more than like 100 years, and people are doing this, and they smoke their own tobacco and they sell it each other, not the companies, not the making cigarettes, but as a tobacco. So mostly people do this so they don't need any cigarettes. But in 2002, Erdogan and his party comes, first thing they did it, they closed the public fabrics, which is buying tobaccos. And why is that like this? Because with these people were very rich, they could buy the, so after that they understand, because if you are rich at the politically you were not with Erdogan's thing. So usually, so after that they close it, so the making Kurdish people in that region poor, so they will not think about nothing, so they will only try to feed themselves. Of course, they succeeded after this.
And maybe after 2002, of course, also you people found ways to manage, and yeah. So now what, you sell it, you grow it illegally or what?
Yeah, basically that is illegal, but whole cities do this, so they cannot catch whole city. And it's also Kurdish city, so people will not like it. Anybody will say that you cannot do anything in your land. So people are doing, but the problem is now the selling another cities is problem, because you cannot put tobacco to the cargo and send it for example in Istanbul, and they catch it and they take it every and burn it. So the mostly problem is for tobacco farming people to not able to sell freely.
And but who is selling? Who is buying? Maybe because you, I think you mentioned one time that US is buying, or no?
That's a different type of tobacco. The one type of tobacco is that you only can make it and sell it with your own. Usually you need the water, but if you don't have water, the other lands, they only need to do the tobacco without water. So they need to sell any fabrics. And like around like 20 years now, there is American companies, like American fabrics, they're buying these people's tobacco. But like, for example, if you sell it normally, 1 kilo, it's 200, but they buy for 20 lira, 1 kilo. So nothing.
So they managed to use the niche,
yes,
that the Erdogan's prohibition actually imposed on Kurdish inhabitants of the region.
That's agreement. Mm-hmm. Turkey is a country like managed by USA, so everything is connected.
What are maybe some other products that people started to grow after this prohibition of selling the tobacco to?
Still they're doing. If they have water, they do it because it's very quality and it's very expensive to sell. But if they don't have water, the people which is their land is out of the water, usually they do grapes, barley, almonds, wheat, red linseed, it's very quality. Chickpeas, wheat, other things, many things, dates. Yeah, like around 20 years, dates and almonds are more grown. But that these trees are very difficult to take care of.
And you say like, okay, wheat, you do wheat for bread.
Yes.
But barley. Barley, you do it for what?
We have barley, but the barley in my hometown, you cannot use it to feed animals. You cannot make it there for their food. You only can use for beer, to make beers. It's a different type of barley, I don't know. Because if maybe it's about the weather, it's about the land, yeah.
So you also, you produce your local beer?
No, we sell the...
sell it,
yeah,
okay.
Sell the companies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But these things are very, they cannot save you. You only do to have small monies.
Yeah, because tobacco was actually the quality product that brought a lot of money to the families.
Yeah, 1 year of tobacco, you could buy a house, car, and every year expenses. 1 year, we were like this. So
maybe some other things, but actually we didn't discuss it, but now I got it, and I don't know why we didn't say it. And how is with animals? What kind of animals do you have? Like goats or?
Yeah, usually goats.
Goats?
And cows.
Cows also, okay.
Yeah. So usually mostly like not many of them, but every family, for example, one cow, or if they couldn't afford the cow or they can't look at the cows, goats, sheep, not much. Usually the animals who stayed at home. Yeah, so yeah.
Okay. We are getting to the end of our interview. Just to say some of your political view on the situation in North Kurdistan and with Turkey and everything. also like it was a big earthquake few years ago, so yes. How is to live now in Samsu region? How is to be Kurd in Turkey in Samsu region nowadays in 2025?
Still 100,000 people that are living in the tents. The government they had to build to for people, but you know, the inflation and they don't usually care. 100,000 people, they're still living in the tents. One of that, my sister and my brother, they're nurses. So they have to live in there to go hospital and come. Also doctors, I mean, so after earthquake, still situation didn't go good. And politically, yes, my city it was a political city when we were rich. But after after tobacco, they couldn't sell, they were not rich, they were only trying to feed themselves. And actually it worked, and they were more like side of Erdogan. Because Erdogan is not right or not left, mostly like religious. So people from my hometown, they became like him, so maybe he will do something for them. But yet, look, the earthquake happened in my hometown, 50,000 people died, and like whole 80% of cities go down, but yet no buildings. 100,000 people, it's like 2 or 3 years, and yet they are living in the tents.
And this is a political intention.
Of course.
It's
that's,
not a chance.
So everything in Kurdistan is a political. Everything, because they do this for purpose. There is a, you understand, if you don't build a 3 years house for us, that means we don't care about you're not our people. We will do when we want.
Maybe you have some last words for people who are listening to our radio show. Otherwise, thank you very much to be with us
for this interview on the importance of food production and the political possibilities that it brings.
I thank you for having me. Voila.
The glasbo.
testira pa tudi kilavo seme.
Od zrna do zrna. Sirek. V tokratni rubriki Od zrna do zrna vam predstavljamo žitno kulturo sirek. Sirek je rastlina, ki spada v družino trav in je v bližnjem sorodstvu s koruzo in prosom. V botanični nomenklaturi jo najdemo pod imenom Sorghum bicolor. Je peta najpomembnejša žitarica takoj za rižem, pšenico, koruzo ter ječmenom in se jo na letni ravni pridela nekaj čez 60 tisoč ton, od tega kar petino v ZDA.
Glede na arheološke in pelodne raziskave naj bi sirek uporabljali že pred 6 tisoč leti na področju Južnega Sudana, odkoder se je razširil Zahodno in Južno Afriko ter Indijo. Skozi tisočletja so kmetovalci s prebiranjem in vzgojo razvili več podvrst sirka z večjimi zrni in klasi. V srednjem veku je za distribucijo in popularizacijo sirka precej pomembna tako imenovana arabska kmetijska revolucija. Sirkovo zrnje se raznese po mnogih deželah Afrike in Azije, v Evropo pa prispe na področje današnje Andaluzije v Španiji. Beseda sirek, ki jo najdemo v nekaterih evropskih jezikih, tako na primer v nemščini sirk, hrvaško sirak, naj bi izvirala iz starolatinske besede siricum v pomenu sirsko žito. V srednjem veku prispe v Evropo iz bližnjega vzhoda.
Sirek dobro prenaša sušo in vročino, poleg tega pa ne potrebuje visokih vsebnosti dušika. Raste v velikem temperaturnem razponu in široki pH lestvici. Dobro tekmuje tudi s pleveli, saj izloča alkaloid sorgoleon, ki onemogoča rast drugih rastlin. Poleg tega lahko raste tudi na strupenih zemljinah. Zaradi vseh lastnosti ga precej gojijo tudi revni mali kmetje na manjših zaplatah s slabo rodovitno zemljo v državah drugega in tretjega sveta.
Sirek se uporablja za prehrano ljudi in kot krma za živali. Kot kaša se uporablja v mnogih jedeh, sirkova moka pa se uporablja za razne vrste pekovskih izdelkov. Zrnje se lahko pripravi kot koruzna pokovka. Pomemben je tudi pri izdelavi piva in žganih pijač. Posebna sorta sladkega sirka se predeluje v sirup in melaso. Poleg tega se stebla rastline uporabljajo za metle in za armaturo v gradbeništvu. V Nigeriji z rdečim sirkom barvajo usnje, v Alžiriji pa na podoben način barvajo volno.
What do you want? When you want it? How do you want it?
Pašo priporočamo.
Ekola, zdaj pa smo že skoraj na koncu, imamo še nekaj najav in še kakšno neumnost zapovedati.
Ja, imamo par takih aktivističnih najav. Že to soboto ostaja zaledje neuklonljivo. Zakaj gre? Gre za protifašistično manifestacijo v Beljaku, kjer se bo poskušalo blokirati dan bratovščine. Ta dogodek je bil predstavljen tudi pred kakšnima dvema tednoma v Infoshopu, tako da je, to je poziv, da se gre podpret tovariše antifašiste na Koroško. Sicer pa še en drug protest, sicer nekoliko kasneje, ne, čez en mesec nekako, protest proti oboroževanju vojne in zvezi NATO, študentsko društvo Iskra poziva k udeležbi v petih na kongresnem trgu. Aj, to se tudi malo sklada z našo današnjo dinamiko kilavega semena, ta antimilitaristični komentar, evo, povezujemo s antimilitarističnim protestom. In pa še čez cel juni poteka serija uličnih akcij pod imenom Pride for Free Palestine, torej Pride proti kolonializmu, genocidu, vojnam in ostalim oblikam izkoriščanja, zatiranja in tako naprej. Tako da sigurno bo več na omrežjih objavljeno kmalu, tako da za enkrat samo tako, da bodite pozorni tudi na te informacije, na to serijo dogodkov.
Tole so bile najave neumnosti, kdaj drugič. Imejte se lepo, se slišimo čez 4 tedne.
Čau.
Čau, čau.
Thanks to today's mechanized farming, there's more time for the family to visit in the town nearby. Time for the boys and girls to meet friends for a swim before the pool closes for the winter. Time to shop for new clothes, to look at new equipment.
Kijavo seme!
Agroprogram
Radio Student.